Well, it looks like we're going to be hunkered down here for a little while longer as our governor has extended our stay-in-place order, stay-in-place, stay-healthy order until May 4th. But I am really thankful for one provision he has made for churches. He said back at March 26th, he said this, and I want to quote this. There are some exceptions to our order for our stay-in-place order that will help people stay connected, and staying connected is important. For example, religious institutions can have, under our order, a certain number of people present at the places of worship to ensure that online remote services can be afforded to their flocks. And I am really, really thankful that we have that privilege and that opportunity. And I'm really thankful for our worship team is willing to come in. You know, we're not even practicing. They're just staying at home. We only come right on Sunday, and they gather together and get it all ready. And a few of our video and sound team. And I'm just thankful for all of them that are here. A few in number, but without them, we couldn't make this possible. And so I'm very, very grateful to all of them. We've been talking about that we are here for such a time as this. Yeah. Difficult times, interesting times. We're here for such a time as this. I said a couple of weeks ago, our world is in crisis, in turmoil. We're worried, we're afraid, we're fearful because of the unknown. But the hope and the answers and the peace that they're looking for is found in Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, Aaron Schluter talked about how that Jesus is certain in times of uncertainty, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And last week, I talked about how this is a time that I believe that God is asking us to draw near. We need to draw near and to listen. We need to be near in order to hear. And I want to continue on this thought about, last week I did talk about our dog, Josie, our new dog, and she's doing great. My wife is happy. She's smiling. She's bubbly. It makes her very, very happy. I did have a few people tell me that now their children want puppies, but that's not on me. That's on you. So anyway, by the way, you can get all of our messages, all of our messages that we have done either online or you can get it on the app as well. For such a time as this, for such a time as this. When I think about the words, for such a time as this, I think about those words and it means that for such a time as this, there must be something difficult that's happening. When Mordecai said those to Esther, that you're here for such a time as this, it was a perilous time for the Jewish nation right there. It was a very, very difficult time. And so being here for such a time as this is talking about difficult times. And when I think about difficult times, I think today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, the last week that Jesus is going to be here on the earth before his execution and his resurrection. But it was also called Passion Week, and it was a difficult time for him. It was a difficult time that he was going through. It says in John 12:27, Jesus is saying this in the midst of Passion Week. He says this, "Now my soul is troubled." It was a difficult time for him. "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Lord, get me out of here." No. "But for this purpose, I came to this hour." If that doesn't sound like I came for such a time as this, Jesus came for such a time as this. When Jesus was here on earth, there was also a world pandemic, but nobody knew it. The virus, it was sin, and it was literally killing the nation. It was killing all of mankind. And Jesus came for one purpose, for one passion, to die on the cross for you and me, to put an end to that pandemic. How awesome. How wonderful. Palm Sunday starts with Jesus, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It says in John 12:12-13, "The next day a great multitude had come to the feast. The feast they're talking about is the feast of Passover, where they heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, hence Palm Sunday, and cried out, Hosanna! Word means save, rescue, savior. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. It started with all of these cheers. Hosanna in the highest. But we're going to find out it's going to end with jeers of crucify him. Crucify him. How quickly things went from absolutely wonderful for Jesus to absolutely perilous in an instant. Passion. Passion. Passion week. I looked up the word passion. Passion means strong and barely controllable emotions. We think about somebody who has passion for something. They're just excited. They're just almost controlled by it. There's just an energy inside of them. They're so excited. It's so awesome. But it also means this from the dictionary definition. The second definition was the suffering and death of Jesus. That the word passion is tied to his crucifixion, to his suffering, to his anguish. Passion, it seems like a dichotomy. It seems like a contradiction here between this seemingly like ecstasy and yet this suffering of Jesus. But the Bible says it was for the joy set before him. For the joy set before him. You see, for the passion that was set before him, he endured the cross. It was his passion. There's no contradiction. He loved what he did for us. As I was praying, though, I was really perplexed on what the message is. All of these messages I know are crucial, and so I've been praying a lot, and I was in so many different going in so many different directions and trying to think about how to put it together. And then I felt like the Lord said this. He said, "Why don't you just make it basic?" He said, "Why don't we get back to basics? Getting back to basics, because that's what the world is doing right now. They're getting back to basics. Families are getting back to basics. They're simplifying their lives. Right now, we don't have people thinking, you know, I think I want to upgrade my home to a $10 or $12 million home. Or, hey, I need to get a faster car. Or, I need to get. We're not looking for better, faster. We're looking for something that's simple. Basic. These times are calling us back to the basics. To simplify, not complicate. And I believe God wants us to take advantage of simplifying our lives. Getting back to basics. I love, you know, I know that the Nimmers and the Nimmer, Robin and Nuri, this is for you. The Nimmers are big Green Bay Packer fans. And it was July of 1961. And the 38 members of the Green Bay Packers football team were gathered together for the first day of training camp. The previous season had ended with a heartbreaking defeat when the Packers squandered a lead late in the fourth quarter and lost the NFL championship to the Philadelphia Eagles. Vince Lombardi started the meeting like this. Gentlemen, this is a football. This is a football. I think they all knew that this was a football. I think they got that idea. But Vince Lombardi was bringing them back to basics. He was a man of basics. He would always take them back to basics. It's funny because at some point, Max McGee, the Packers pro wide receiver, joked, Coach, could you slow down a little? You're going too fast for us. We only know X's and O's. I know how that goes. Lombardi reportedly cracked a smile, but continued his obsession with the basics all the same. We're going to learn and talk about tackling. We're going to learn and we're going to talk about blocking. All of the basics. 6 months later, the Green Bay Packers beat the New York Giants 37-0 to win the NFL championship. Then after that, he would go on to win 5 NFL championships. This is before the Super Bowl. And then when the Super Bowl started, he would win Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II. Why? Because he told them the importance of this is a football. This speaks about the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. It's very, very simple. It's very, very simple. Getting back to basics. When everything else is stripped away, we're left with the basics, what's truly important. When I think about it, you know, during this crisis, the important things we realize, right? Number one, the number one thing that left Walmart off the shelves the very beginning was what? Toilet paper. You can see how important toilet paper is. And I thought it was interesting. I thought about toilet paper and I thought, I wonder if anybody's been selling toilet paper on eBay or something like that. Has anybody, you know, because it's hard to find. And so I Googled, you know, most expensive toilet paper. Do you know how much the most expensive toilet paper is? One roll of toilet paper is $1.3 million. Yes. Dubai. Where they have golden toilets. What do you need for your golden toilets? But gold 22 carat toilet paper. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. That is really, truly sending your money down the drain right there. 1.3 million. I just like to have a couple of sheets. Man, I bet in that house, you know, it was like, you know, it's on only one sheet when you go to the bathroom. It's don't take a whole roll and wind it up. I thought, wow, that's expensive. What was the second thing? When we think about it, we think about food, water, or shelter. The second thing that went off the shelves were staples like flour and sugar. Thirdly, when we think about basics, I think about family. I think about my family. It matters that we're taking time for families again. How awesome. Use it wisely. Develop memories that will last their lifetime. And fourthly, God. Getting back to basics. Is America getting back to its roots? The roots of America are based in God. Are based in our faith. Are based in we came here for religious liberty. We came here so we could worship. We came here so we could honor God. We came here so He would be the number one thing in our life. Let's get back to basics. Let's get back to basics. I pray to God that this whole thing would be used to start a revival in our nation and around the world once again, where this would become the most important book that we obtain, that we have, and that it's read every day. Getting back to basics. I thought about getting back to basics. What is getting back to basics? It's Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Basics. The basics. You see, that's exactly what Jesus was doing during His Passion Week. Bringing humanity back to the basics. You see, religion had gotten complicated. The Jewish leaders had made it so complicated with all of its additional laws and rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and you shouldn't do that and you can't do this. They made it really, really complicated. They made it almost like, I don't even want to know if I want to do this, man, because it's just so hard. And then there's all the religious sacrifices and all that took place. It seemed like religion was complicated. So Jesus came to simplify it all. Jesus says, you don't need anything. You just need me. You don't need anything else. You just need me. He made it very plain, very simple, very easy. Thank you, Jesus. And if I can stress anything during this time of a worldwide getting back to basics, let the simplicity of the gospel, let it bring you joy again. Let it bring you hope again. Let it bring you freedom again. Let it bring you love again. Let the simplicity of the gospel wow you again. Oh my gosh, I'm saved. Remember when you got saved? Remember how exciting that was? How simple it was? Okay, what do? I just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and then ask Him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior and tell Him you'll follow Him all your days. Okay, is that it? Yeah, it's so simple yet so profound. It's so simple yet so important. It's so simple yet so amazing. So simple. We need to get back to the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of what it means to grab somebody's hand. I guess you can't grab them at the grocery store right now, but you can reach a hand out and say, just pray this, Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. I accept you into my heart. Bam! This is a time of simplicity, folks. We need to get back to how simple, how wonderful, how awesome it was to be saved. It's so easy, and yet it changed the course of my history in a second. A few words spoken with a heart that was so poised toward God, a heart that was so broken before Him, knowing that I was a sinner, and praying those words in a snap. My whole history changed. My whole destiny changed. My whole future changed. My whole eternity changed. That's why Jesus came. To make it simple. To take away all of that. And just say, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Don't we get excited when we simply talk about Jesus and we lead our kids to Christ? You know, say this and okay, Jesus, come into my heart. And we get so excited. I remember all the times up on campus and the times now when I get the privilege of sharing with someone and talking to them about receiving Christ. And at the very end, I usually say, where is Jesus right now? And they'll just, with tears in their eyes, go, He's in my heart. Oh, so simple, so wonderful, so passionate, so emotional. I remember times coming back off campus and I would just be crying. Oh my God, thank you for allowing me to sit in the room with this person as I watched their destiny get changed. As I watched their life get transformed. Oh my gosh. What a privileged spot to be. Let's get back to basics. Let's get back to basics. You know, every Sunday I go up to the water tower and I pray. First of all, I ask the Lord, please forgive me for all of my sins this week. I just want Him to know that I need His forgiveness. I need His forgiveness. I know I'm a dirty, rotten, miserable sinner. I know I didn't live it fully the best I could. And I'm so thankful for His forgiveness and a chance to do it again the next week, a chance to live better. not in my own efforts, but because of what Christ has done for me. So I get pretty real and talk pretty openly about my sins. Secondly, I say, Lord, I just want to remember. I want to go back to remember the joy of my salvation. Because, Lord, thirdly, I pray that the Holy Spirit would empower me. Because, Father God, when I get behind that pulpit, I don't want to preach and point a finger and make it so complicated and so hard and so arduous and so such a taskmaster. I want to make the gospel so powerfully free, so powerfully simple, so powerfully wonderful, so powerfully overjoying. I just want people to know how awesome you are. Help me to feel that as I step up there. So I preach with hope, not condemnation. Have we complicated the gospel because of our complicated lives? Have we gotten so sophisticated that we've added so much and gotten so smart in our understanding of the Bible that we start articulating things that really don't matter anymore? The fourth leg of the beast, the toe of this and the that and there and this and that, other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The basics. Or worse yet, have we compromised the gospel because of our complicated lives? Not just made it complicated, have we compromised it because we're so busy? We're just so busy. So busy doing so many things. You see, Jesus came to simplify our lives, to get us back to the basics. This is the gospel. When I think about Jesus simplifying our lives and getting back to the basics, I've got to go to the basic scripture, right? John 3:16. And I know in the New King James, it's "For God so loved the world," but I put it in the New Living this time. I'm reading through the New Living this year through my Bible reading, and it says it this way: "For this is how God loved the world." This is how God loved the world. The basics. God loves you. And nothing's going to change that. God loves you no matter how bad you are, how wicked you are, how much you hate Him, how much you run against Him, how much sin you do, how much God-awful junk you do in your life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anything. He loves you. That's it, period. It is not based on you. It's based on Him. He loves you. You can't do anything to try to gain more of it. You can't do anything to lose it. He simply loves you. That's good news. That's good news. For this is how God loved the world. This love here is the agape love. Agape, it's the way God loves. You can only love this way if God's in you. It's agape love. It's not a worldly love. It's not a sensual love. It's not a sexual love. It's not even a friendly love. It's a God love. It's godly love. A love that you probably in our lifetime are never going to understand. Because the way we love is, oh, you love, oh yeah, I love you too. And oh yeah, well, We reciprocate love. God just loves. He is love, right? And His love, He loves us with a love that is complete, total, and perfect. Without expecting anything in return. Totally. God does not reciprocate love. He does not reciprocate love. He always initiates love. Always, always, Always. He's not going, oh, because you love me. Well, I want to love you now. He doesn't do that. He just loves. He initiates it. He continues it. He never stops it. He just loves. He loves. His love is not contingent on anything you can give him. There is no cause and effect in his love. He just always loves you in a big way that you'll never understand. And honestly, the thing that brought me to Christ was when I realized how much of a mess I was, that he still loved me. And that broke me. That broke me. Even when I slapped him in the face, even when I spit on him, he just kept loving me. John, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Wow. First love is risky love. Isn't it? Remember that when you were, oh, I like her and I don't know if she likes me. And then a friend would come and tell you, you know, Sarah, she really likes you. And, oh, she does. Well, I really like her. And so everybody was doing this behind the thing. You had to make sure you had it all down before you ever came and said, hi, Sarah. Before you ever started the process of risking and saying, hey, I love you. Because what would it be like to say, I love you, and they go, I'm not into you. And then you feel like you threw it all out there and feel like totally embarrassed. God does that all the time. God does it all the time. But he's never embarrassed. He doesn't care how you receive it. He doesn't. Well, he would like you to accept it, of course. But it doesn't deter him from his love and how you accept it or reject it or throw it back in his face or tell him, you don't believe in him. You don't believe in hell. You don't believe in heaven. You just don't believe. That's fine. He's just going to keep loving you anyway. He's not going to stop. 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 Get used to it. He's not going to stop. He's just going to keep loving you. Jesus thrives on it. He just loves to love us. The true measure of God's love is that he loves without measure. For God so loved the world, as we continue on in John 3:16. The world, the cosmos. Greek lexicon says the cosmos is people associated with a world system and estranged from God. Estranged from God. Kind of like, we're away. We're afar off. We're estranged. You see, God loves the people that are estranged from him. He just simply loves everybody. He's going to keep loving you. He's not going to give up on you. He just loves to love. He loves to love. He loves to love the distant people. He loves to love the people who are atheists. He loves to love the people that don't believe in him. He just loves to love. He loves you. He doesn't love like humans. And honestly, the only reason you love God back is because, as I said, he first loved you. Honestly, it says we love him because he first loved us. Actually, in the Greek translation, him is not there. It says we love because he first loved us. You see, we don't even know how to love. We learn the concept of love because he put it inside of us. He put it in us. How to love like he loves. Not phileo, not brotherly love, not sensual love, not sexual love, but godly love. It only comes because God lives in here. Therefore, we can love people and show them the love of God by not giving up on them. The only reason you love God is because He put it in you. We think, well, no. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you. It's God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Well, you know, I decided to change my life around, and I'm doing this now and all that stuff. Wow, aren't I good? No. God put that in you. God put it in you. You get no credit for that. He doesn't care about the credit. He just loves you. In John 6:44, it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You didn't wake up one day and on your own decide, I want God in my life. You didn't decide out of the blue, I love God. No, God drew you. God put it in you. God compelled you. God moved on you. Oh God, move on our world today. That they would come to you. Do we pray that? Oh God, move on my friends. Move on my family. Move on my co-workers. Move on the lady at the store. Oh God! Let them experience your love. Let them let your love in. Let them just give you a little crack and let the love in. And then watch what a little love, what a little agape love will do for a world that desperately needs true, honest to goodness, expecting nothing in return. Love. You see, it was not your idea to come to Jesus. You didn't come up with it on your own. God drew you. The Holy Spirit wooed you. And Jesus improved you. Thank God, huh? He improved you. All you did was respond with yes to God's love and then found out that life is so much better with Him. Oh God, I'm so glad I don't live a second, especially in these times, without a Savior, without a God who sits on the throne in control of it all. Thank you, Lord. Continuing on in John 3:16. He gave His one and only Son. You see, God gave us something very precious to Him. He didn't just give you a couple of cattle on the hill. He's got extras of them. He didn't just give you a gold-plated toilet paper. You don't need it. He didn't just give you something that was expensive or a nice gift. He gave you something that was very, 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 very important to Him, very costly for Him to give to you. Not something He just has extra. He's got waterfalls and He's got a world. He's got so much extra out there. But He gave you something He only got one of. Unique. He didn't just let you borrow Him to do some chores, expecting to get Him back. He gave. He gave His Son to be abused, murdered, emotional abuse, physical abuse. Gave that to us. Why? Because that's the gospel. Someone had to die in my place. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But nobody took His life from Him. You see, Jesus gave it. He laid it down on His own accord. Nobody took it. He gave Himself. God gave His Son and Jesus gave Himself. They're in the giving business. They just give and give and give and give and give and love and give and love. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. You know, the amazing thing to me is that seeing all of our reprehensible sins, that God would choose to still love us. After all of our reprehensible sins. I wrote down here, sins, the ugly, the vile, the dirty, the rotten, the filthy, the wretched. I put in my notes here, put more adjectives that are awful. Think about them. Think of an awful adjective and put it in there because that's your sin. That describes it. Oh, no. I'm a good sinner. I only do clean sins. I like worry a little bit. You know, that's kind of a Christian sin. I'm just a clean sinner. If you're a clean sinner, you don't understand sin. There is no clean sin. There is no, just a little off-white sin. No, it's gross. It's putrid. No, I just told a little white lady. No, it's putrid. It costs something. Somebody's life is going to pay for that. No, I'm a nice sinner. I'm just a nice sinner. If you feel that your sins are not that big of an issue, then you're idolizing yourself. That little, it's wretched. All I did was, wretched. Aren't you glad you have a Savior who wipes away wretchedness in an instant? Don't try to make yourself look so good, because you're not. Jesus in you is what's good. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His love, His agape toward us, and that while we were still sinners, while we were still wretched, while we were still not even looking for Him, while we were still slapping Him in the face, while we were still spitting on Him, while we were still running away from Him, while we still were faking it with Him, 1 minute with one foot in, one foot out, saying, oh, I'll never do that again, and then running to it again, all of that, He still loved us. He just keeps on loving. He just keeps on. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps on. But look what He did. I did this. Did I know. I love you. Why wouldn't we want to come to Him? Why wouldn't we want to give our life to Him? Who? Anywhere in the world can you find that kind of love? Continuing on, verse 16. So that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Wow. Believe. So simple an action for such a tremendously great result. So easy an action. So simple the action for such an amazing, amazing result. You will never ever find a return like that in the stock market. Only supernaturally. By the power of Jesus Christ and His love for you, will you experience that? Believes, to believe to the extent of complete trust and reliance. It's just, remember our kids when we put them on the counter and they would jump into our arms. Come on, jump. Jump, Christian. Come, jump. And he would jump right in the arms. And then you had to be careful because when you turned your back and they would get on the counter and they would jump even when you weren't looking because they were just so free about jumping toward you. But then they got older and all of a sudden fear set in and they were a little more worried about jumping into daddy's arms. Fear complicates. Fear competes with faith. But for a Christian, faith should always triumph fear. Should also always trump fear. Don't lose your enthusiasm to jump into daddy's arms when he says, just trust me. Just trust me. The word perish means ruin. It's one word away from apollyon, which is the destroyer, Satan, a name for Satan. You see, the devil loves to ruin things. Perish will not perish, but without him you will. And the devil just loves to ruin things. He's a ruiner. With Jesus, we don't get a ruined life. We get an eternal one. And that word eternal, pertaining or an unlimited duration of time. Eternal. You see, it never, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever, 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 never, ever, never, ever, never stops. Eternity. Somebody asked once, well, how long is eternity? A king did. There's a story about a shepherd boy who was famed for his wisdom. He was summoned by a king and who asked him, how many seconds are there in eternity? And the boy responded with a story about the mountains in the area that were 1 mile wide and 1 mile high and 1 mile deep. And he said, there's this little birdie that comes and it sharpens its beak every 100 years on that mountain. And when that mountain is reduced to rubble, to nothing, it'll be 1 second in eternity. What we do now that's so basic has eternal, eternal consequences. Don't miss out. Let's get back to the basics, shall we? Our nation today, we are facing a pandemic, but there's another more severe virus in the world, and it's killing people by the billions. But unlike the coronavirus, no one recovers from it. The virus is also not visible, but its effects are seen, and it's called sin. But the good news is that there is a vaccination against it. It's not done with a shot in the arm, but was done by a Savior who is nailed to a cross. The antidote is obtained simply by receiving this Savior into your heart. The result is not just that you'll recover, but that you'll live forever. Let's get back to basics. Keep it simple. Let God love you well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're such an amazing God and you keep it so simple. On this day, we'll remember that you went through all your suffering. You called it passion. Your love for us on display. Let us remember the simplicity of the message that Jesus died for me so I wouldn't have to. That to ask him into my life is so simple by just simply saying, forgive me, Lord. Come into my life. Save me. Lord, help us to keep that which is simple, simple. That we remember the basics during this time. That we love you and allow you to love us like never before. Amen. I want to say one last thing before we close with a song. Is next Sunday is Easter Sunday. We have a huge play prepared for you. We got actors everywhere. There's 150 people involved, but we can't do any of that. We're very sad. Amazing. We'll do it next year. But we are going to do something special. On Easter, we'll have a special kids program that will begin at 10 a.m. So you'll want to start at 10 a.m. and check in. There'll be something just as special for the kids. Okay? They're going to enjoy it, right? Before we get into the service at 10:30. So check in at 10 o'clock next week. Sign in early, all right? We'll probably be on air a time before that as well. Also, we're going to have action packets for kids geared to kids 3 through 10 years of age. There's going to be suckers in there. There's going to be all sorts of fun games in there, all sorts of great stuff. However, we can't get those to you. You got to come and get them. You're not picking them up because you're not coming on Sunday. But if you'll come to our receptionist, to where our school, our daycare is, if you're worried about going in, just simply let us know. We'll bring it out to you. We want to give you those packets for your kids that you give to them on Easter Sunday. Not only will you pick up that, but we also have communion cups with a wafer in there that we ordered, we bought. It was on Carrie's heart to make sure that we don't forget communion. And we thought it would be a great time to celebrate communion on Easter. So if you'll come by, we'll give you those communion packets. We'll give you the kids packets. Suckers, kids, 2 for each of you. We miss you. But we're going to celebrate together on Easter. We'll see you then. God bless. You can pick them up from 7:30 to 5:30 Thursday and Friday of this week. We'll send out more information about it. Love you guys.